As a society, much of society anyway, we've moved away from the old definition of marriage as between one man and one woman. But 40 years ago, the idea of a marriage being anything but that was shocking. Our guest this hour is the daughter of a traditional marriage, but one of the partners was gay. Karen McClintock lives in Ashland and is the author of My Father's Closet. And she's a psychologist, a teacher, a pastor, and author with four previous books to her credit. Her work specializes in family secrets and shame recovery. And yes, it's often sexual shame. So here's your family secret. Is this essentially what started you on your professional path?
Some of it was unconscious because my father's journey of coming out took quite a while, as coming out sometimes does. And my understanding of having been raised with this family secret took many, many years. So some of it was an unconscious seeking to be in the field of human sexuality. And growing up in a family where nobody was allowed to know anything, I went off to know everything. So I became really a voracious reader and student. I went to seminary to know God, the big unknown, and then went on to eventually get my PhD to study the effects of the closet on children from closeted families.
So nobody talked about either God or sex in your household, and you went off to learn about both?
Well, we talked about God somewhat in my household. They took me to church until I was old enough, what I say, to stay for them, like to atone for their absence. So I was raised in a Presbyterian church, and the book does talk a lot about the religious issues, because when people are coming out of the closet, they also have to really grapple with what they've been taught in their religious traditions. And sometimes coming out or not is based on how safe they feel in a religious community. So it felt to me like it was helpful for me to have both of those sides of my background come together when I wanted to tell the effects of the closet on children.
How old were you when you first suspected that your father was gay?
That's such a tricky question. In my household, when my mother would show us picture books and I'd say, "Who's that?" she would say, "You don't want to know that." So even if you get hints of things, you don't know them. My father had many classic and sort of there are funny scenes in the book, very classic things we might think of stereotypically about gay men. He grew fabulous gardens. He arranged flowers. He was the interior decorator of the house. He played beauty shop with my sister when she was a child and mother was off at work at the library. So there were many, many clues, but we were told not to put them together.
Specifically? I mean, explicitly?
No, it's really a force field when you have a sexual secret in your family. You're told not to know what you know, and you throw out your own intuition in order to keep the family intact.
So, boy, how late in your life was it? I mean, how late in his life? Let's make it fair to him. I mean, how late in his life did he finally ever, or did he ever say that he was gay?
My father never said that to me. I had a scene in the book where he has come to see me in California when I'm an adult and have just had a baby, and he and mother come to see me. But he only stays 4 days out of the 2-week trip, and he wants to go back to Ohio. He says, well, the cold of winter might freeze the pipes. And I was very suspicious by that time. He was hanging around with younger gay friends at the university where he worked. And I ask him in the book point blank about that.
All right. We're talking to Karen McClintock. Her book is My Father's Closet. Charles Marvin McClintock, your father, born 1923 in Ohio, the son of a drugstore owner. I mean, could he have been more middle American?
No, I think one of the things I like about the story is to help people understand that ordinary families also have extraordinary sexual secrets within them. Mm-hmm. And love is far more complex. And through all this work, I just sort of smiled to myself this morning. I still keep having these insights. I thought, well, I suppose I could say I was from a polyamorous family. But that word had never really, you know, hit me as my story, you know. I have a gay father who had a very significant long-term partnership, and I grieved knowing my true father. I knew the straight one, but I didn't know the gay one. Mm-hmm. And I had to put that together through fragments of the journey, books, letters, his journals. Mm-hmm. Some of it's in his own voice in the book because I was able to find his journals only 10 years ago.
Really? That recently?
And then I was in the last throes of this book with the senior editor at Ohio State Press, who said we need to know more about his lover and his long-term partner, Walther was his name. And I didn't know how to do that, but through a number of miraculous clues, which are revealed in the book, found his last name and his story. And now I had a love triangle, and now I had another person in my family system who was there for years, who I knew nothing about. And his life starts in Nazi Germany with his mother telling him that he was Jewish.
I do want to come back to Walter Michael in just a little bit, but I want to talk about your father just a little bit more, because
sure.
He grew up in a time when people honestly thought that something caused gayness.
Yes. My father studied psychology as well, and at that time it was told to him, of course, from the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of the Psychiatric Association that it was a problem, that this was, in fact, a mental illness. So he was growing up in a culture and time when he believed that that was the label. And if he had ever come out, it would have risked everything, his job, his family, his custody of the kids. So I totally understand why he stayed in the closet and why my mother was what I call, in a friendly way, a co-conspirator to the whole situation.
I remember my father explaining homosexuality to me. He moved to Greenwich Village when my parents split up when I was five, but was explaining homosexuality as well. It was, you know, comes from a child born of a family where there's a weak father and a domineering mother, which is what your father thought about his own relationship with his own mother, didn't he?
He did have a strained relationship with both of his parents. His mother doted on him. He was the second son, which actually biologically makes him more likely to have been gay. But she doted on him, and he was really her love. But he overhears her. He writes this in his journal, overhears her saying to her friends at a party that she really wanted a girl. And they say, oh, that explains it. So he knows when he's 19 that he's been called a sissy and a mama's boy and some of those things that he's written into his own painful description of himself.
Okay, a lot more to hear from Karen McClintock about her father, Charles Marvin McClintock, who went by Mac for a good bit of his life. The book is called My Father's Closet. You can catch Karen McClintock in person tonight at 7 o'clock at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland, talking about the book and reading from it. We'll talk more with her in just a few moments here on the Jefferson Exchange. Please stay tuned. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest is Karen McClintock. She is an author, psychologist, teacher, pastor who lives in Ashland. She's written about her father, who was gay and never came out. Her book is called My Father's Closet. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about homosexuality and how it was dealt with in times past and how the differences have made life richer for everybody in this time. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Just starting to hear about your father and the idea that he knew he was a mama's boy, thought it was because his mother wanted a girl, that sort of thing, and they thought made him homosexual. Momentary aside here, though, about your parents and their romance, and it's about why pies and romance are so intertwined in your family.
Thank you. Yes. My grandmother was a pie baker, and I think my grandmother tried to set them up by baking pies. So there's a funny character that my mother dated before my father came along who was rude and ate his way right through a pie without even waiting for my grandmother to serve it to him. So that was in our family taboo. And he was thrown out for Mac, who was very polite, my father. Who changed his name, by the way, when he became more gay. He started as Charles and became Mac across his lifespan. But he would come over. Charles would come and date my mother, and grandmother would bake his favorite pie. So the book parallels my life as well, and I'm sure that's part of why you were commenting on that chapter, because when I was newly divorced, a friend of mine set me up with this guy they called the divorce recovery guy. And I knew.
Rebound expert?
Yes, the rebound expert, you know, to restore self-esteem. And so what, of course, did I do? You know, like families, you do the ritual. So I baked him a very good pie. But the next day, I felt a good deal of remorse, and eating the rest of the pie didn't help.
rest of the pie. Oh, my goodness. You tell us you tried for years to understand your parents' courtship, which sounds idyllic, but for this very basic incompatibility. I mean, they didn't really have any options in 1930s and 40s Ohio, did they?
I don't think they had options, but I also think they had a true and lasting love. And this is why it gets really complicated for people to understand it. My father and mother really had a regard for each other's well-being. And what else is love except a really good regard for the well-being of the other, sometimes to your own self-sacrifice? And I believe that my mother had that kind of regard for him. She was everything his family wasn't. She was flamboyant and funny and could dance with him. They were Fred and Ginger their whole lives, never stopped going to dance club. And she provides the humor in the book often and the warmth in the book that he was lacking from his own parental experience. And I totally understand why he was drawn to her, despite the fact that he had this knowing that he was sexually attracted to men from pretty early age, about the same time he was dating my mother.
Okay, so they got married. They had two kids. You have a sister, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that basically pursued the American dream as it was understood back then.
Yes. Yeah, the little green lawn. We didn't have a picket fence, but we had big tall trees that everyone in the neighborhood knew and played flashlight tag and things that kids could do at that time, freedom. My mother protected me when some boys beat me up on my bike, who had knocked me off my bike one time. And she protected me by going to all the other mothers and making them pay to fix my bike. And wow. So some of the stories are just Grover's Corners,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I thought I grew up with for a very, very long time.
So your father never came out in his life, you say?
Well, my father did eventually use the word gay with my sister very close to the end of his life, mm-hmm. but it was thrown in her. He never named it, actually. It wasn't in his voice. When she asked, he nodded. That's the closest we got.
Wow. But your mother finally said it to you after your father had died?
She had only 9 months between his death and hers, and they were both young in their early 60s. So at that point, she had some time in which she explained a few things to me. Not all of it, but she explained a few things. And she packed his journals into a box and mailed it to me, which I never opened. I thought it was his art supplies.
Oh, really?
So I never opened it till about 10 years ago. And there at the bottom lay his journals.
How long had they sat there?
They died in 1988. She did.
Okay, so not until 10 years. So they sat there for 20 years.
Yes, and I moved them from house to house to house, never looking to the bottom of the box.
Wow, what a treasure trove that was. But in a mixed way, I'm thinking.
Oh, absolutely. It includes his own writing is in this book from his journal and the engagement letter he sent to her, which a gay man recently said to me that was the most heartbreaking part of the book because he also married a straight woman, pretended to be straight. And he said, when I read the engagement letter, I just wept. So I know that these stories are broad and touch many hearts.
Karen McClintock is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the author of the book, My Father's Closet. Her father, Mac, Charles Marvin McClintock, never really truly said the word gay to either of his kids in his lifetime. So you do pick up the story. I mean, once we've gotten to establishing the courtship of your parents in 1930s and 40s Ohio, here's where you pick up the story of a German Jew named Walter Michael. How did they meet?
Yes. I don't know exactly when or how. I know they went to the Columbus Art Museum a lot, so I had the lovely option of seating them there, and I knew some mutual friends and a little bit about how they might have gotten together. So one of the gifts is that I hear from people reading the book is that it reads like a novel rather than a memoir, but it's because I had the opportunity to broaden the story to find out, you know, how they might have met and when. He came after fleeing Nazi Germany to Columbus when I was 10. And I had known that they traveled to New York City every year together as an adult. When I was already out of the house and maybe in my 30s, I knew they were taking these trips together. But I didn't realize how early this relationship might have begun until I found more information about his history and his resume and background.
That's a real key to the narrative, I think, is the fact that this really does become a bit of a detective story.
Oh, absolutely. And it's tricky a little bit in the writing, but it becomes wonderfully complex because I'm going back in time while my father's story is going forward. So I'm going from my adult story backward, and he's going from his 19-year-old courtship of my mother forward. Some of the funniest stories are at the end of his life when his gay friends are sneaking the porn out of our basement so nobody will know. He probably had the earliest gay porn hidden in our basement.
Wow, that would have been some old stuff, sure. So as you read the journals, did you find a person you really didn't know in there?
I found my father that I didn't know. I found my gay father. I found out why I worked in the AIDS field when I was in the Bay Area. I found out why I dated gay men, why I've been drawn to gay men my whole life. I'm half genetically gay. Nobody knows what to do with that idea.
And so did he tell you how proud he was of the work you were doing late in his life?
Pride isn't a word he used very often, just once at my graduation from seminary. My father was very formal with me most of the time. And loving, but formal. And that is partially because you can't cut loose if you have that big a secret. You can't access your humor. You can't drink enough to lose it. You have to contain not only who you are, but any topic that would come close to the truth of who you are. And that shuts down interpersonal connection in a very serious way. It's not the orientation that's the problem, but the secrets and the shame can be really problematic for children and families, and they were problematic for me. There's a lot of angst in the book about that.
Sure. And in fact, but you draw some parallels to alcoholic families, too, which I can relate to. I mean, the fact is these are households where secrets are kept. Questions are not asked. Answers are not given, even if the questions are asked.
Yes, you're told not to know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What you just saw didn't happen.
Yes. Yeah. And so you begin to doubt your own knowing.
So how explicit did your father's journals get? I mean, what kinds of things were you discovering in there about him? Not just the things he was thinking and feeling, but the things he was acting upon.
Well, it's explicit enough I can't read it over the radio, but I can put it in a book. He has a sexual relationship when he's 19, and in his own words in the journal, I write it into the story. When I read it, I took it to my women writing friends, and I said, oh my gosh, my father's dating mother, but he's already having sex with a man. And they were like, go, Charles, explore your sex life. And they were all really into his developing sexual identity. And I was really mad because it felt like he was betraying her and like I wanted them to have a good start. I didn't want it to be confusing for them from the beginning. I wanted Grover's Corners. And so I had to go back to therapy and set the whole project aside until I learned to forgive him.
How long a process was that? I mean, how long did you stay away from the project?
It took a while, maybe a couple of years. Can I read to you about the forgiveness piece, just a little quote from the book?
Please, let me remind listeners we're talking to Karen McClintock about her book, My Father's Closet. Now she's about to read from it.
Every kid has a list of things to forgive, Dad. I forgive you for being sick with multiple myeloma. I forgive you for always making me wear shoes outside, for your picayune habit of straightening wall pictures when visiting my house, for neglecting church once I grew old enough to go in your place. I forgive you for keeping every letter I wrote home and giving them back to me with spelling corrections on them. It didn't work, Dad. By the way, I still can't spell. And I forgive you for the hard stuff, like your detachment from Mom, which left me to be her companion. I just wanted to go on being a kid. You lied to me about going home, about freezing pipes, when you were really going back to spend the week with Walter. And I forgive you for that, too. Dad, I know how much you loved him. I forgive you for hiding, even though I have ached to know you. I wanted to ask. You wanted to talk. We couldn't get there, even at the end. But I've stopped whining. I forgive you.
Wow. That's profound. Did it take you a long time to get there?
Sure. A lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And even after you'd been, I mean, had you already been giving instructions on how to get past, how to recover from sexual shame by that time?
I'd been teaching workshops all over the country about that, as I do. I have a workshop I call Sex at Church, mm-hmm. which is quite popular, as you can imagine.
Title alone gets people in the door, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'd been teaching people about lowering shame and advancing inclusivity for years, mm-hmm. and I'm passionate about that. Let's get the shame out of sex.
Mm-hmm. But even with that training that you had received enough yourself to give to other people, it still took a while to get to there with your father.
Yeah. The book allowed me to develop a personal relationship with a man I wasn't allowed to know. And even when his younger friend says to me, I did reach out to him in writing the book, and he said to me, "You have a right to know everything about your father." And I just wept. That just brought me to tears. No one told me that.
Your mother was the one who just came out and said it. She said, "I'll tell you, your father was gay." Now, what did she say about the structure of their relationship in later years? I mean, they stayed together a very long time. They were together better part of 50 years, weren't they?
Yeah, almost. Over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The question was what she was doing around all that time.
What form the relationship took?
Yeah. High regard. What I saw is they still kissed each other every day when they came together and when they left each other, and they still had a Manhattan every evening. It went from 1 to 2, and they had this time that no one else was allowed to share with them, where every evening they spoke together at the end of their work days. I'm sure my mother had a good deal of heartache. Dad's younger friend said she was always kind of bitter, and I thought, well, of course. She had some bitterness, and she lived a celibate life. I don't suppose that was really great for her. And she grew up in a time when Presbyterians are predestined to what they marry into, and she was stoic. You know, you do what you have to do, and you carry on. And she did that somewhat for the kids, I'm sure, to make sure that we had a stable life and that we knew both of our parents growing up. There's quite a gift in that.
She had to have been aware of his relationship. And did she have any relationships of her own?
Not that I know of. A friend of hers at her funeral came up to me afterward and said, "Your mother had secrets you'll never know about." Thanks.
Can you give me a hint?
I know. I tried to contact her recently in the working of the book, and it was a month after her funeral.
Oh.
Yeah. So we lose history.
We truly
along
do.
The way.
I don't know if you've gotten this feeling yourself, but you look at photographs of people and it's like, wow, I'd really like to know who these extended family members and friends were, but there's nobody left who could identify these people.
Who could tell me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have two uncles in the book, my mother's brother and my father's brother, and they become sort of the polar opposites. But one of them in Texas said, when I called him and said I was writing a book about my gay father, he said, "I don't believe you." And that was the end of that relationship.
Wow.
And then the uncle on my mother's, or my father's side, kept bringing us religious tracts and telling everyone that my father was going to hell because he danced and he drank and he smoked. And that just makes me smile now, because he would have, had he known that my father was gay, he would have been certain never to see him in heaven from his viewpoint.
Right.
So he becomes also a really true voice for what it was like to grow up in America at this time.
Truly. Karen McClintock's book is called My Father's Closet. Again, she'll be speaking tonight at 7 at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. Talked only briefly about your sister, Marcia. How much did you guys talk about this, certainly after you left home? I mean, did you begin to talk to each other when you got together about, you know, I think this might be true of Dad and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we were able to do that. We both picked really unfortunate partnerships for our first marriages, and that's partially because we were recreating a system that we didn't know or understand, which many people do with their marriages. But she's been supportive all along. The day we got the picture of Walter, which we'd never seen before, from the archivist, she was on her computer in Arizona while I was on mine here in Oregon. And she calls right away, of course, and said, "Did you ever see this man?" And I said, "Did you ever see this man?" Neither of us ever saw him. We think our nephew went to his house one time and saw him. And last week, a man came up to me in Ohio and said, "I knew Walter and Mac. They came into my antique store on a regular basis."
Really?
And I was so shocked. I kissed him. I said, "You mean I didn't make this all up?"
So Mac and Walter managed to have a life.
Yeah, they were a couple. I mean, he said that like they were just every ordinary gay couple in Columbus.
So I love this line here. You said of your mother, she had a master's degree in library science and an honorary degree in evasive communication. So, I mean, it was like months after your father died before she finally said, "Out and out, he's gay"?
No, she didn't have much time. She was dying of cancer as well. So we sat on that lime green couch that shows up often in the book, and she pulled out pieces of information. And I don't know if she'd ever used the word gay. She would have, in her generation, said he was homosexual. But I don't even remember her saying that. What she said is, "You were our last sex."
Really?
Yeah. And she never said much about Walter. I had to find him all on my own in many ways. He had given my father a picture, and when Dad died, she wanted that picture out of the house the second after he died.
Really?
That relationship had been so painful for her that she probably could not have talked to me about it.
When you learn something so fundamental about another person, I mean, it's obviously bound to recast so many memories you have of them. I mean, now that you look back on things that your dad said and did, are you still getting these, oh, yeah, kinds of moments?
Sure. Yeah. I say, you know, mostly he tap danced with me about it when I asked him in that trip when I was taking him to the airport early because he was coming back to Ohio. For the pipes. Yeah, to keep the pipes from freezing. And, I said, Dad, why are you hanging out with these gay men on campus? You know, and he said, well, you know, I'm an artist and a dancer, and I've never been into the country club scene, and I never felt like a man's man. Yeah, but that was all tap dancing around the truth.
Well, it's a rich story and well told. The book is called My Father's Closet. Karen McClintock, who lives in Ashland, is the writer. She's a psychologist, teacher, pastor, and author, and works in family secrets and shame recovery. And she'll be talking tonight at 7 at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. A pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us with the book.
Thank you. Glad you invited me to be here.